Take your Bibles, if you will, the book of Luke, chapter 6. Luke, chapter 6, beginning at verse 19. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, that being Jesus. For there went virtue out of him and healed them all. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets." Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for this day that we're able to come and, Lord, to sing songs of honor and praise. Lord, as we are able to take an offering, Lord, we thank you for that. And as we look into your holy word, we ask that you would bless it. May we be encouraged in our Christian walk day by day. And Lord, you know the spiritual condition of each man and woman and teenager in this room this morning. And Lord, if there's one that has drifted away from you or simply has never come to you, may they get things right today. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. The Beatitudes are recorded in two of the gospel narratives, here in Luke 6, and of course the main ones that we know of in Matthew 5, where it has the complete list and all of the Sermon on the Mount. A beatitude is bliss, joy, complete happiness. Some even say heaven. But Jesus is letting his listeners know that joy or bliss comes from humility and lowness of spirit, or lowliness of spirit, or one would say a contrite spirit. If I were to ask you what Satan's problem was, the answer was he was not humble in attitude or spirit. If I were to ask you what Eve's problem was, I would say she was not humble in attitude or spirit. If I were to ask you what was Cain's problem, the son of Eve, he was not humble in attitude or spirit. When did Moses or Samson or David, Solomon, Gehazi, Jonah get into trouble? It's when they were not humble in attitude or spirit. Why did Jesus condemn the Pharisee who was in the temple praying along with the publican? Because the Pharisee was self-righteous and not humble in attitude or spirit. When do we have trouble in our marriages? When the wife tries to run everything and is not humble in attitude or spirit. When do we have trouble in marriages? When the husband tries to run everything and is not humble in attitude or spirit. How hard it is sometimes to be humble. To be humble in spirit. It is my opinion that when Jesus is listing the Beatitudes, either found in Matthew or here in Luke, he was really describing himself. For he was humble in attitude and spirit. Get the picture here. There is no technology. CNN is not there with their cameras. Fox News is not reporting NBC or any of their affiliates. Nobody is there with their cell phones taking pictures. Boy, you have to be careful all the time now, don't you? Because someone might take a picture of you. There was no media coverage, There is only the words of Jesus. And they're recorded for us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in the book of Matthew and Luke. Jesus has done some miraculous healing of those that were there. He has called his disciples, and of them he has named 12 apostles. Now, things are a lot different back then. Nobody's in a hurry to get home to watch television. I was listening to a commercial yesterday, and they were talking about you can record 4 things at once while watching a 5th. And I thought to myself, are there 5 things on television at one time that you would really need to watch? I was out at my mother-in-law's house last night. I thought I'd go out and watch the Tigers, and it's good to watch them when they win. And they did yesterday. At least I think they did. They were ahead 10-0. Did they win? Good. Well, they were up 10-0. And I thought, you know, during commercial, I would see what was on. And I was amazed they were selling things to cook chicken. They were selling rings and coins. And I thought, these are just commercials. And yet somebody must watch these half-hour commercials. And yet some people will spend a half hour watching why you should buy U.S. currency instead of being in the house of God for even a few minutes. Would you say there's something wrong with our society? And I'm thinking to myself, one of the problems is that we have not learned to be humble in the sight of the Lord. Most of us have ignored him, and that's to our, what shall I say, to our disadvantage. Notice verse 20. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples. To whom is he talking? He's talking to his disciples, right? A disciple is a follower. See, he is not just speaking in particular to anyone's there. He's talking to his disciples. Do you desire to be a disciple of the Lord? Just because you're in the house of God today doesn't mean you're a disciple of the Lord. It just simply means you're in the house of God today. We hope that you will become a disciple of the Lord. But notice what he says, blessed be ye poor. Now, is Jesus saying that you that are poor are going to be blessed because you're poor? If we look at the book of Matthew, we find that he words it just a tad differently. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Those that are humble and contrite. Jesus told us that the financially poor would always be with us. There are always the poor. Had a man stop by the church yesterday, and he said to me, he says, I'm homeless. He said, I need $100. I thought it was interesting he needed $100. Then he went through his whole thing. He, his wife, his 3 kids, they're living out of a motel over here. He's got a job now, but he needed $100 to see him through. Now you say, Pastor Paul, does this happen regularly? It happens regularly. We've had them call and say they needed diapers, a couch, clothing, gasoline. I remember, Dad, the time the guy wanted $20 for gasoline. And you gave me your credit card to take him over to the gas station. And he said, I don't want your credit card. I want $20. Yeah. Boy, I wondered what he wanted. Yeah. Well, you'd given me the card. Yeah, you weren't going to give it to him. Yes. Wilmington says that these are poor in spirit, are pure in spirit. You know, when we put other things in front of God, we make them idols. We have been so blessed in America. Don't let your blessings become a curse. Don't let those things that God has blessed you with come in front of Him. He says, for you that are blessed because you're poor, yours is the kingdom of God. This was exemplified by Christ. And the 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 23 says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." Jesus humbled himself to be a servant. Jesus came to die for you and for me. He saw the need and was willing to take care of the need. The reward for those who are poor in spirit is the kingdom of heaven. We find in 21a, it says, "Blessed are ye that hunger now." Now, I'm not going to ask if any of you are physically hungry right now. Now, I must admit, this morning I got up and I had myself some scrambled eggs, and I am not physically hungry right now. So I can go for an hour or so. I hear an amen down here. Do I have a second? I hear some more amens. All right. No, I don't have enough notes for that long, folks. Yes. Stand up, speak up, and shut up. That's what I was taught in college. "Blessed are ye that hunger now." Matthew 5, 6, in its listing of the Beatitudes, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after," do you know the right word next? "Righteousness." Are we hungry to be right with God? Are we hungry and thirsting after the Word of God? Do you enjoy the Word of God? Is this a bestseller in your mind? Is this something that you enjoy having? Let me ask you this, and I'm not going to have anybody raise their hand or stand up or give a testimony, but how many of you read from the Word of God this morning before you came to church today? Are we hungry for the Word of God? Some call this a sure sign of salvation when one wants to know our Lord more intimately through the Word. Now you ponder that. There are people who have been born again that haven't been in the Word of God in weeks or months or years or even decades. They know Christ as their Savior, but they do not hunger and thirst after the Word of God. This was exemplified by Christ in John 4:34. Jesus said unto them, the them being the disciples who have just returned from the city of Samaria, not knowing of his conversation with the woman at the well, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." His work was the work of redemption. And we're glad he got the job done. The reward for those who are hungry for the Word of God is that they shall be filled. They shall be satisfied. The studying of the Word of God brings great joy. The listening to the Word of God brings great comfort and motivation to do right. We find in verse 21b, it says, "Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh." Matthew 5, 4 says, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." To weep or to mourn. I must admit that I have shed some tears over hearing about my mother and the cancer. There was the reading of the report from her PET scan and cancer in the vertebrae. I believe, Dad, it was 7T. And there is thought that it could be in her right humerus, maybe in her liver, but we know in the lungs inside and out. And we think about this and we mourn. We weep. And yet we find that the Lord can give us strength and encouragement during this time. Psalm 30, verse 5b says, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." We may not understand why we are going through the difficult times of life, but joy comes in the morning. We may not understand why a group on a bus coming back from a Christian campsite where they'd been all week long and they've heard the preaching of God and decisions have been made that there should be an accident and the youth director and his wife would be killed. We may not understand that, but God has a plan. We don't know the plan, but He has a plan. We don't know who through the testimonies that may be given at funerals may not lead to the salvation of somebody. The reward for those who weep, they shall be comforted and even be able to laugh. Take your Bibles. You're here in the book of Luke. Turn over to book of the 22nd chapter, beginning at verse 39. To be comforted. We find here in Luke 22, Christ is going to the garden. He's going to pray. Right around the corner is Judas and those who have come to arrest him. Jesus sees what's ahead. He knows that there is going to be the mockery of the trials, the scourging, the beating, the placing upon a cross, the nails driven through his hands and feet, the mocking of Satan, the mocking of the chief priests. He realizes the separation that's going to come between him and the Heavenly Father because of your sins and mine. We find in verse 39, "And he came out and went as it was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, and strengthened him." Folks, when we go through difficult times, we need to be encouraged. Maybe you are going to be the one who's going to encourage. May I encourage you to be an encourager and to be close to the Lord. Back in Luke chapter 6, verse 22, "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake." Blessed are ye when men. Matthew's narrative of Beatitudes has been called the eightfold highway to happiness. Luke here has only four of the eight. Matthew records in Matthew 5:10, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness." Here in Luke we have, "Blessed are you when men shall hate you." Not hate you because you stole from them or you ran your car on their front lawn and did a donut. Not because of that. When they separate you from their company, not because you have body odor. You're not blessed because they separate from you from that or because you like Brussels sprouts. Blessed are you when they reproach you. Reproach means to blame or dishonor or abuse or insult or disapprove or criticize or scorn, chide or condemn. Blessed are you when men reproach you. When they cast you out of the synagogue or out of their families. Blessed are you when they persecute you for the cause of Christ. Now let me ask you this. Have you lost any friends because of your testimony for Christ? Have you lost people in your family who want nothing to do with you because you make a stand for Jesus Christ? Are you at work one of the people that they don't invite to certain parties? Are you one there that maybe has even lost a promotion because you don't play the games they play? Because you want to be a Christian and you want to stand up for what is right. Jesus says, blessed are you when you go through these circumstances. Christ exemplified this. We find, and though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he, Jesus, should be slain. Folks, down through the years, hundreds, yea, thousands, even millions have died for the cause of Christ. And even in our world today, there are those who have lost their lives because they made a stand for Christ. What is the reward for those who are persecuted for the Lord's name? Your reward is great in heaven. Here you may be bothered or confused or bewildered, but in heaven there will be great reward. They treated the prophets with scorn and rejected their message. They treated Jesus with scorn and rejected his message. They will treat us with scorn and reject our message if we are willing to be a testimony for Christ. Isaiah chapter 53, if you would, we need to move quickly, even though I've been given permission to speak an extra 45 minutes today. I will not. Isaiah chapter 53, beginning at verse 3, a prophecy of concerning the vicarious sacrifice of Christ. Beginning in verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Dr. Mark was talking about the false doctrine that had been brought into the church there at Galatia, and we find that they wanted to add works to salvation. And some may say, oh, that's terrible. Do you realize how many churches today in our society and in our world that call themselves Christian desire to add works to salvation? They say that Christ is part of it, but we must keep ourselves saved. They are adding works. That's an abomination. Christ died for our sins. Whatever works we do are to show our salvation, not to earn our salvation. Take your Bibles quickly in 1 Peter chapter 2. Blessed are ye when men hate you and shall separate you from their company, and they shall reproach you and cast you out for his name's sake. We find in the book of Acts that they made joy in the fact that they were counted worthy to be persecuted. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. May I say this, do right. Serve him faithfully. This same book, chapter 4, verse 12. 1 Peter 4:12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified." Shall we stand together? He spoke to his disciples. He was warning them of what was coming. Are you wanting to follow after your Lord? Are you a follower? Are you a disciple of Christ? If so, maybe you'd like to come and pray just for strength to be a testimony, to be encouragement to those around you. But if you've never accepted the Lord as your Savior, if you've never put your trust in His saving grace, we'll give you that opportunity this morning to come and to pray here at the altar. Maybe you have needs of getting something right with the Lord. You can come and pray here by yourself, but if you want to have someone pray with you, please let us know. We'd be glad to have someone pray with you. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this time of invitation, we ask, Lord, that you would bless it. Help us, Lord, to be willing to put it all on the altar for you, to follow you fully, trusting in your grace, your mercy. We ask that the Holy Spirit would move and that souls could be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.